As we begin the season of announcements, could you pray for me for a moment that I could make a good announcement to you of the good news that we hear in our readings today and celebrate in this Eucharist? If you pray for me for a moment, that I'll speak the Lord's words to you and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. Let us entrust each other to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It's nice to have a little moment of silence there. I don't know. Do you experience that? It's a remedy. The gospel speaks of that silence as a remedy. In our first reading, we heard that Abraham believed, hoping against hope. What is against hope? You know, there were people at the time of Zechariah who looked around and said, "This is a train wreck. We have this guy who's in charge, who's the king of the Jews, and he's not even a Jew, Herod. And he's under Roman rule. He's not really even a king. And he doesn't really even have any control. And meanwhile, we have Pilate, who's crushing people, destroying, mingling the blood of the Jews with the sacrifices. We have this tyranny that's happening. Violence everywhere. People aren't believing. Our glorious nation, our beautiful religion is falling apart." This is what people were thinking at the time of Zechariah. How is this ever going to work out? And thanks be to God, we're not offering human sacrifice in this country at this moment. God only knows the direction that we're going and the level of depravity that seems to increase decade by decade. Where this is all heading. We can certainly look around and we can be pretty doom and gloom and have a fair amount of substance to back that up. We can look at the violence, we can look at the economy, we can look at the refugees. Some of your relatives, I'm sure, Lebanon is overflowing with refugees. A third of the population or something is refugees now from Syria. Poor people whose homes have been destroyed. Bombs, violence, refugees flooding into Europe, various European nations closing down gates, building walls. We have so much suffering. And then people taking advantage of it. Terrorists, violence, all of this. It's terrible. There are many things against hope around us today. But while people were saying these things in the time of Zechariah, while Abraham was looking at his own body, all basically dead, as the first reading said, 99 years old, his wife 90 years old, she never bore a son for the first 90 years, why would he ever think that she would bear a son at the age of 90? Why would he think that? Because God promised. And so Abraham was able to hope against hope. He was able to look into the face of the impossible and say, "I don't know how, but I believe." And this is our challenge today. Are we able to look into the face of the impossible and say, "I don't know how, but I believe"? God has the power to do great things. I believe that. I don't have the power to do great things unless He gives me that power. God has the power to do great things. God has the power, even while everything seems to be falling apart, this little nobody knew who Zechariah was. He was one of the Levites in the priestly service. He wasn't anybody special. He wasn't anybody that made the news. And while everything is falling apart, and probably lots of people like you and me were going, how in the world is this going to work out? An angel appears to him, and something starts to happen that nobody knew was happening. Something starts to happen. This baby is conceived, and things start to unfold that are going to topple this empire, that are going to fill many hearts with hope, that are going to transform the world from that time until now. What's God doing right now? Who's the Zechariah right now that God is raising up? Where is that grace at work? Where's the little baby that's being born? Where is that seed of hope? Maybe it's in one of your lives. Maybe it's in mine. Maybe it's in the next eparchy over. Maybe it's in Lebanon. Maybe it's in China. God only knows. But what we can be certain of is that God has promised, and he is faithful. He has promised that evil will not be victorious. He has promised that good will triumph. He has promised that love lasts forever. He has promised, and he has put the seal of conviction on that promise by dying for us on the cross, by demonstrating for us that when love is crucified, when the worst possible thing happens in the world, the very murder of God, what springs forth from that is life eternal and a victory that will never end. God has promised to us like he promised to Abraham. And so we look around at the world and we don't move into denial and say, oh, like everything's fine. I'm sure everything's just going to be just fine. No, things are not fine. I'm not okay and you're not okay and the world is not okay and that's not okay. But God is okay. In fact, God is glorious and God is victorious and God is on our side. And he challenges us whether we can look in the face of that. Like Abraham looked at his body almost dead, at his wife barren all of these years. He looked into the face of death and he said, I believe, hoping against hope. Can we look at the world and say, I believe, and hope against hope? Can we allow that to surge in our hearts? I was at the men's conference at the convention center in Pittsburgh yesterday. Very beautiful. A lot of men who are believers. A lot of men who gave up their day. A lot of men who struggle. I was hearing confessions for 5 hours. Me and another 10 or 15 priests. A lot of sinners. Sometimes one person asked me one time, do you ever get depressed hearing confessions? I mean, all these bad things people have done. I said, no, I get excited hearing confessions because everybody's doing bad things, but the people coming to confession know it, and they want to do better, and they're looking for help. I love absolving sins because I love sending people forth to begin again, to start again with an act of hope. And one of them asked me, he said, Father, I was wondering, you know, that act of contrition we pray, I firmly resolve, right? That's the beginning. That's the new beginning. We're stepping forth from the confessional. What are we going to do? Like Jesus with the sinful woman, go and sin no more. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. He said, Father, how can I pray that? I know I'm going to sin again. I said, you know that you're weak, and I know that I'm weak, and we know it's likely. But can you believe and hope against hope? Does God have the power to keep you from sin? Can God give you that grace that you could sin, you could go the rest of your life without ever sinning? Can we actually feel that hope surge in our hearts? And not just collapse into this malaise and settle for mediocrity and look at the world and wring our hands and just turn around and complain to our neighbor and hole ourselves up in our own little bunker and gather all of our 2K MRE food and whatever else? Can we actually surge forward in hope and say, God can give me the power not to sin again. And God can give me the power to make a difference. God can give me the power to be another John the Baptist. In fact, God has given me the power to be Jesus. each one of us in baptism, we're baptized into Christ. He has given each one of us the power to be Jesus, to be his legs and his hands, his voice, his eyes, and above all, his heart, to love a world that is very broken and needs a lot of love. God can give us that power. He can give us the power to begin again and to set forth. He can give us the power to say with hope, by the help of your grace, I will sin no more and avoid the near occasion of sin. And it matters. If I'm able to do good, if I'm able to take a step forward and be holy, if I'm able to love, to forgive, and to set forth that goodness in motion, it matters. God can do something great with that, just like he did with Zechariah, with Elizabeth, with John the Baptist. If you have a hard time allowing your hearts to fill with hope, God gave us a remedy. When Zechariah had a hard time believing, God made him silent for 9 months. Maybe we at least need to be silent for 9 seconds or 9 minutes, maybe for 9 hours. A little bit of silence, to silence our complaining, to silence our negativity, to silence our cynicism, to silence our despair and discouragement, and to put good words on our lips, to fill our hearts with the good news of God's salvation and his power that can be at work in us. As we prepare to receive the Lord in all of his love and power in this Holy Eucharist, let us not just make it another communion, another Mass, but let's begin again. Let's start something new. Today is the ending of the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And so this is the last time we'll be able to walk through these Jubilee doors and gain the indulgence. But we should think of this like a catapult, like we've been pulling back this catapult for an entire year and gaining momentum, and allow ourselves to be shot forward into the future, where we bring all the mercy that we have stored up in our hearts, all the mercy that has been poured out onto us, and we fling it into society through all of our good deeds, through all of our belief and our prayers and our love, by really being Jesus as he has baptized us to be.